Is there an easier time of the year to be a Christian than Christmas time? I know that's not what we always hear. That's not what people always talk about. So often people talk about at this time of year, a war on Christmas. You've heard about that, right? How because you need to be politically correct, you can't say Merry Christmas. You should say Happy Holidays or Season's Greetings. You can't have a Christmas tree or a Christmas party. Maybe you can have a holiday tree or a winter party. And of course, these things, as they do occur and they do in the world around us, they're frustrating. They're bothersome to us as Christians. They seem to assault Christianity specifically. In the end, though, at least from my experience, I would suggest that maybe the war on Christmas isn't quite as profound as people sometimes think. I'm fairly certain none of my neighbors has ever gotten upset with me for saying to them, Merry Christmas. Even if they wouldn't necessarily use that greeting or say it back to me. Now, it really seems to me that maybe Christmas is a particularly easy time of the year to be a Christian. Consider this. If a person comes to church just two times in the entire year, one of those times is probably Christmas. And throughout the season, you can hear Christmas songs all over the place, in the malls, on the radio stations, 24 hours a day. And yeah, I know, not all of them are Christian songs. They don't all talk about a baby in a manger, but many of them do. Christmas is a time when people are generally nice to each other, and that's something as Christians we certainly appreciate and we want to do as well. And maybe that makes it easier for us to be nice to other people as well. It's a happy time of the year. People are generally happy. Maybe some people get time off of work or time off of school. They receive presents and they give presents. They decorate their houses with all sorts of lights. And Christmas is this celebration all around us that's really easy to just kind of get swept up into. So maybe the question that we should be thinking about is, why is the world so comfortable with Christmas? Could it be that for them Christmas is only about the decorating and the parties and the presents? Could it be that all they know about the real story of Christmas is something about a baby in a manger? Or maybe better than that, they picture the nativity scene with a baby and a mother and a father. And they think that's very cute and very sweet and very friendly and just nice. And don't we sometimes think about Christmas that same way? It's easy to miss out on what really makes Christmas so special. Yes, it is a little baby laid in a manger, but there's so much more to it than just that. Because this little baby is God's son. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what our Christmas Day worship service is all about. Our lessons invite us to look into that manger again and to see more than what's obvious with our eyes and to really celebrate the coming of this special baby. This baby Jesus is so special because he brings God to us. God, who created the world, also created human beings to live in it. And he created them to have a relationship with him. A relationship that shortly after the creation was ruined by sin. Sin separates us from God. It prevents people from reaching up to God, and so instead God has to take the initiative to come to us. And God's done so in a variety of ways. The book, the letter to the Hebrews, begins by speaking about those things. How in the past God spoke to us through the prophets, to his people, through his prophets, and he did so many times in various ways, over and over again. Some prophets wrote and spoke in poetry, and some prophets used object lessons, and some prophets talked about the future. But again and again and again, God spoke to his people through them. He made sure that they heard what they needed to hear. He made sure that he warned his people about the consequences of their sinfulness. And that he assured them of his gracious and abiding love. But now, says the writer, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. God's Son comes to earth with a message. He is the message. He's God's communication to his people. In him, we learn who God truly is and what God really is like. That's why we heard how John in his gospel calls Jesus the Word. Both our sermon text from Hebrews, the first chapter, and our gospel lesson from the first chapter of John make it exceedingly clear that the Son of God is God. This little baby born to Mary and placed in a manger is the very one through whom the whole universe was made. He's eternal. He sustains all things by his powerful word. And in statements like these, we find mysteries that we cannot even begin to fathom. Mysteries upon mysteries. These are matters that we cannot possibly fully comprehend. That God's Son is God himself is a reflection of the mystery and the teaching, the fact that the Bible reveals to us that God is triune. He's three in one in a way that nothing else is. Nothing that we've ever seen or experienced could possibly be. And how can you and I possibly fathom that the one, the God who created the entire universe, who created our world, who created you and created me, would come into our world as one of us. But that's exactly what we celebrate at Christmas. That God did precisely that. The Son of God came into the world in flesh and blood, born of a woman. As we read earlier, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The writer to the Hebrews explains The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. This is God come to us. This little baby is everything that God is and everything that God is like. And just to be clear, that does not mean, it does not refer to His physical attributes. As though you and I might say about a little baby, well, he has his dad's eyes, or his dad's ears, or his dad's smile. This is to say that everything we can say about God, we can say about the baby lying in Bethlehem's manger. He is sustaining all things by His powerful word. He is almighty. He is eternal. And He is gracious above all. And that is why the Son of God brought God to us, because of His grace, His mercy to you and to me. This is God's plan of rescue being carried out, His plan to rescue you and to rescue me from our sins, to rescue a whole world of sinners from all of their sins, sins that have entrapped us ever since the creation of the world, ever since the beginning of mankind. And so Hebrews goes on to say, after He had provided purification for sins, see, that's what God's Son came to do. That's why He was born of a virgin mother, why He humbled Himself to be laid in a manger and to grow up in a sinful world. That Son of God went on to teach and to suffer and to die. And in all of this, He was seeking our purification, our cleansing from sin. And when we hear in Hebrews that word purification, it really should make us think about how God purified sins in the Old Testament, how He had His people offer up sacrifices. Those sacrifices that one after another were always necessary for the people because of their sin day after day after day. And those sacrifices pointed ahead to this sacrifice. And I can't help but think how those Israelites in the Old Testament must have from time to time looked at their flock of sheep or of goats and found a young animal and said, there it is. That's a perfect sacrifice. It doesn't have any defects. It's exactly what God requires of me to bring to the temple. There it is, that perfect lamb. And this is Jesus. Even as a little baby lying in the manger, there He is, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect offering that God demands for the full and final purification from your sins and from my sins. This is what so many people miss when they think about the story of Christmas. They may know about the little baby. They may even realize somewhere along the way they learned that He is true God come into our world. But many people believe that He did that to show us that we can do a good job living in this world. To give us a really great example about what a good person can be. That God came to earth to be our friend. Oh, he did. He came to earth to be our greatest friend because he came to offer himself as purification for our sins. This is God's Son. This is why he came. And because he accomplished what he set out to do, he deserves our worship and he deserves our praise. In fact, our sermon text makes it clear that he has always deserved our praise. When God brings his firstborn into the world, it explains, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." As great as even God's angel messengers are, those perfect messengers that he has created, Jesus is even greater. They are the ones, those angel messengers, who God sends to tell people about his birth, to announce it in advance to his earthly parents, and to appear to the shepherds and to praise and worship this Jesus. The angel did come to Mary and later on to Joseph to tell them about the coming of this special baby. And on the night of his birth, they appeared to the shepherds and they filled the night sky with the bright and shining glory of God as they praised him, praised God for sending his Son into the world. This was no ordinary birth. This is no ordinary child. Let all God's angels worship him. This is God's Son. And along with them, let's you and me, let us join to give him our worship and our praise. That's why we've gathered today, to sing hymns of praise, to listen once again to God's word. This is why we celebrate Christmas in so many ways, and we do so year after year after year. This is God's Son. Let us worship him. Let us praise him. And we will praise him forever. Hebrews tells us about the Son. God says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever." There are all sorts of aspects of our Christmas celebrations that are going to be coming to an end very soon. All too soon. You know what I'm talking about, right? The trees and the lights will be put away. The presents that are being unwrapped will get used. And you know what? Eventually most of them are going to break or wear out. Schedules will return to normal. Business as usual. People who have come to visit us are going to return to their homes. And even some people that we've seen in church over the last few days, we won't see again, maybe for another year. But for those who hold on to it, the true meaning of Christmas will never fade away. It will never perish. It will never be used up. It will not last just for this life, but also into eternity. This is God's Son who rescued us from the hell that we deserve so that heaven is ours, where we will praise him forever. So yes, in many ways, Christmas is an easy time to be a Christian. And I understand that in speaking with generalities like that, I'm not addressing every single aspect. There are plenty of people who for some reason or another, for some history or experiences, that this is a difficult time. I understand that. I appreciate that. But it is my prayer for you. It is my prayer for all of you. No matter how happy you feel this day is right now, that today and forever, your Christmas celebration may be exceedingly blessed. You realize who it was born to Mary, laid in the manger. This is Jesus. This is God's Son. This is our forgiveness. This is our salvation. This is Christmas. Joy to the world. Amen. Peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Him, in Christ Jesus. Amen.